This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2128. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded March 3rd, Algeria, Andorra, Antarctica, Austria, Belarus, Canada, Cuba, Germany, Italy, Kurdistan, Kuwait, Mexico, Poland, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Solomon Islands, South Carolina, Taiwan, Ukraine, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Radio Algeria International has some brief segments in English. In the past, they've occasionally shown up on shortwave relays. But here's the latest from reports in the medium wave circle. On February 24th, Steve Witt says, I accidentally stumbled on English at 1925 until Spanish at 1937 on 531 kHz. A good signal in Minsk. I was tuning the remote there to study the radio situation in the Ukraine. Jorge Garfon in Spain says, the foreign language slot broadcast by RTA is repeated at least 3 times a day. Frank Helmbold in Germany says, on 20 and 23 February, I observed English segments as follows in the morning, starting at 04:34, news followed by features about sports and music. It sounded American until Spanish at 04:50. And Doranon, Christian Gibaudot in France, tells the British DX Club, on March 7th, the French singer Philippe Clay would have been 95 years old. For the occasion, we've restored a Radio Andorra program from 1979 and bringing it back to you. This will be on March 5th at 17 UT on 6175, and then on Aquí Radio Andorra for 60 minutes to escape the madness of the world. We keep checking twice a week for LRA 36 Antarctica, but this past week, both on Saturday and Wednesday, February 26th and March 2nd, it did not show up around 15 UT on 15475.98 reduced carrier USB via remotes in Brazil. Radio Austria International has added 2 more broadcasts on shortwave in German, actually relays of the domestic service, including news. It's long been at 06 to 720 UT on 6155. But according to Harald Zeus in ADX, now there's a midday broadcast at 11 to 12, except Sundays, on 13730. And an evening starting at 17 of variable length, between 15 and 25 minutes, on 5940. No doubt inspired by the Ukraine situation, although it's in German mainly. However, Dave Kenny in the British TX Club found some news in English at 11:53 UT, March 1st, on 13730, and back to German at 11:55. March 3rd, Andrew Tett says, they have a brief English news bulletin between 11:54 and 11:56. Nice to hear ORF in English again. Richard Langley suggests that for Ukrainians, English might be a more effective second language than German. John Filiozzi says, better if RFERL were to reactivate some shortwave in Russian and Ukrainian. Filed under Belarus, but we don't know if this is correct. Max van Arnhem in the Netherlands reports to Medium Wave Circle getting a verification from the Russian pirate on 1574.85 kHz. Translated as Radio Bay of Free Waves. He heard it on December 1st and got an email, QSL card, in Cyrillic letters, translated saying, you listen to a pirate radio station from Belarus, no to war. Best wishes to some of our correspondents and contributors who have been ailing. Joe Caberlin in Ontario says he went under surgery on January 20th and is making slow progress in recovery. In the Ontario DX Association, Mark Cody, C-O-A-D-Y, who lost his wife last year, tells us now that he has been diagnosed with cancer of pancreas and gallbladder and will be going under chemotherapy in March. Meanwhile, he says, I'll try to keep enjoying this great hobby of SWLing and DXing to the fullest, the finest diversion to the reality of my health issues. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. And one more, Randy Stewart of Springfield, Missouri,
says he's been in the hospital and is still is, but is recovering well. Meanwhile, he has been enjoying DXing from his hospital bed via remote receivers through his phone. Richard Langley forwards news from the Globe and Mail that Rogers Communications, TELUS, and Shaw Communications are pulling the Russian state-funded TV channel from their lineups after the minister who oversees Canada's broadcasting said Ottawa is exploring all options to get RT off the air. In the National Flash Sheet about Cuba, Jerry Linneman in Waco comments, I think the Cubans would be much better off if they retired half their transmitters in order to devote their obviously inadequate budget to the remaining equipment. I've heard it said that the Cuban government pretends to pay their workers, and the workers pretend to work. Perhaps their equipment problems are a result of this. In ODXA, John Hudak says, listening around some European remotes, I came across Charleston Radio International on 5140 after 23 UT, March 1st. Reasonably strong on only three receivers in Hungary. Mostly 1920s music and vintage ads and announcements. At 2330 about how radios in Czechoslovakia were rigged to only pick up Russian propaganda. Apparently a German pirate station, not audible in Germany after checking receivers there. At 2357, finally a station ID in English. Charleston Radio International. Bill Harms replies to World of Radio. I got them in New York at about 23 UT, 27 February with a weak signal via remote in Europe. I sent a report off to Charleston Radio International at yahoo.com and got a reply within 12 hours. I love the format. Uncle Bill Tilford says, personal financial circumstances beyond my control made it necessary to discontinue broadcast of my programs from stations in Europe. Channel 292 has made the wonderful gesture of throwing us a going-away party, a 16-hour marathon of some of our favorite From the Isle of Music and Uncle Bill's Melting Pot episodes. On 6070, March 8th, from 07 to 23 UT. Deutsche Welle is supposedly no longer broadcasting any English on shortwave, but Ivo Ivanov heard a relay via WRMI, tuned to a remote in the U.S. This was February 28th. At 11 to 12 UT on 9955. As you may have noticed, the last two Fridays in February, there was no signal on 7290 from IRRS shortwave when World of Radio might have aired at 1915 UT, and I wondered if they had given up on that relay. However, Alfredo Cotroneo explains, we focused more on raising power on medium wave 1323 to cover Ukraine, Eastern Russia, and Belarus, besides the rest of Central and Northern Europe. I confirm our commitment on 7290 shortwave for 1 hour in the evening at 19 to 20 UT. Our program schedule had been adjusted to allow new programs and added more news coverage on 1323. We may have to move World of Radio slightly as airtime is filling up due to special programs themed to the new war zone. We'll update you on this. And indeed, 7290 is again being heard in March. Kurdistan Non, last week we gave a new schedule for relays of Dengue Lot via Bulgaria from Ivo Ivanov, but as of March 1st, he says, those transmissions are not on the air. Maybe they were only testing. Meanwhile, on February 26, I spent several hours monitoring via remotes Dengue Lot frequencies and or Turkish jamming. Much too detailed to go into now, but it's, of course, in my log reports. Frequencies involved 9525, 11530, and 11540. At least on February 25th, Ivo Ivanov reported that Radio Kuwait was back on its proper frequency, 15530, for the English broadcast at 05 until 08 UT, but not on the parallel scheduled DRM frequency, 11970. What's the frequency, Glenneth? Last week I left it out about the Mexican XEFCR in Reynosa, 1670.041, slightly variable. Steve Witt, Medium Wave Circle, forwards news from the Polish news agency IAR, that Polish radio has added Ukrainian news as of February 25th on the powerful longwave 225 kHz. It's daily for only 3 minutes each at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. local time. Malno Ritala reports in Medium Wave List, as Tariq Zaidan reported, Saudi Arabia 1521 kHz seems off the air. Last time heard was 13th of February. now weak Arabic music there, not parallel to 1260, is probably Bahrain. 1521, of course, was the huge 2-megawatt transmitter in the northwest corner of Saudi Arabia, which we often heard even in Oklahoma. SIBC, Solomon Islands, had been off the air for more than a month due to shortwave transmitter problems. However, March 3rd at 0722, I again had a just barely audible carrier on its frequency 5020, about the same weak level as Presumed Vanuatu on 5040. So perhaps SIBC is back. Its previous schedule was to use 9545 until 05 UT and then switch to 5020. Too good to be true, last week's report that Brother Stern was off the air in Washington, D.C. Martin Reel follows up that the 950 kHz station, which was off the air for a while, WCTN, is back on the air with more Brother Stair, as of February 27th. Casual tuners going by the listings often assume they've heard Sound of Hope, Taiwan, while it's really the CNR1 jammer, which has a much stronger signal. Occasionally, however, Sound of Hope is in the clear, and to help others identify it, Ron Howard recorded this ID on 6214.92. Yes, they're often off frequency, unlike the jammer. February 27th at 12 UT. It was parallel to 6230 and 6280. We have been inundated with information concerning the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I can only hit some of the major points here. Much more detail is available in the World of Radio IO group. Last week, we reported that WRMI was starting to relay Radio Ukraine International at 12 to 12:30 UT on 5010. Actually, it was to be a full hour at 12 to 13, but just as the invasion started, English broadcast ceased. Apparently, they are temporarily suspended. WRMI is continuing with Ukrainian language relays of RUI at that time. This frequency is beamed due south, so not very audible in most of America. Remote receivers in Europe have been overloaded by people trying to tune frequencies related to this. Fortunately, the major one at Utrecht in Holland has expanded its capability into the thousands. I don't know how they do it. There were only a few medium-wave frequencies active before the invasion. The major one with 400 kilowatts on 549 kilohertz had been off the air but was brought back. However, it is in the Luch or Mykolaiv area where I think the Russians were about to overtake, so not clear how much longer that one can be active. In International DX Digest of the National Radio Club, Bruce Conti summarizes it this way as of February 27th. 837 from the Kharkiv region was reactivated February 24th, but knocked off the air the following day, according to Idun Ritz at mediumwave.info. Ukrainian radio on 549, 657, and 1404 were reported active during the invasion. An Italian blog says 549 had been closed down on January 1st. On February 25th, John Filiozzi noted the RUI audio stream has no foreign language services, no English at 02. Only relaying the primary network on all streams with urgent dialogue as one would expect. Volodya Samaniv in British Columbia has been monitoring television webcasts, notably of their Channel 4 service and also a service called Espresso. It's at wwitz.com. Look for Ukrainian listings. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio. 2128, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Voluntary financial support is always appreciated by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, or via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Dr. Hans-Jörg Wiener reminds us of Baltic Radio International, 1386 kHz from Lithuania, but mostly relaying Polish radio, including programs in Belarusian and Ukrainian, almost all news. Steve Witt of Medium Wave Circle says Vesti FM is being carried on 1413 kilohertz in Moldova with emergency programming in Russian, and you can get that via remote receivers. Michel Frémy in France says some Ukrainian broadcasts were reported on 1611 kilohertz, but they're not from Ukraine, apparently a retransmission from a pirate in the north of France or a neighboring country. Wojtek Zaremba in central Poland says the squeaky wheel has changed frequency, perhaps, and location due to Russia's military aggression. It was mainly on 3828 kilohertz, but heard on 3895 USD at 2141 February 25th, and also noticed lately on 3808. Christoph Rotzer in Austria, Medium Wave Circle, reported February 25th, another reactivation from Ukraine, the Chernivtsi transmitter on 657 kilohertz he was hearing. It's in western Ukraine. Via Southgate, via Zahliangas, a notice from the Ukrainian Amateur Radio League of February 24th. Due to the imposition of martial law, ham radio stations are prohibited for 30 days, according to a decree by the president. But there are still communications to be heard on the ham or utility bands. Zacharias Youngas in Greece says on Saturday, February 26th, after 0630 UT, he was hearing Russian radio operators discussing on frequencies such as 7050, 7055, 7060, 7070, and 7081. Richard Langley says there was excellent high-definition resolution of the streaming 5 TV via WWITV.com with an invasion marathon. Audio in Ukrainian, but sometimes photos are shown with English captions. Sean McHenry says, interesting posts about radio and TV use and disruption of some during the war. Look for Our Ukraine on Reddit. You don't have to be a member or an account to read the messages posted. Zahliangas says there are about 10 videos per hour at reddit.com under the title Ukraine Invasion Videos. From AER in Spain, Pedro Porres reports that the pirate in Sevilla called Indy Radio or Radio has been rebroadcasting the first channel of Ukrainian radio on 6931. In our group, there's been quite a discussion about the loss of shortwave infrastructure. Michel Frémy says, what if internet and phone is cut off? They may then realize they have untapped shortwave capabilities of RFERL in Biblis and Lampertheim, Germany, or that they have in stock dismantled medium-wave transmitters in Cyprus, which can reinforce capacities of the issuer in Lithuania. Or they could transmit as before from the Czech Republic. There is a discontinued long-wave transmitter which is in perfect condition. Flavio Arcangelo, PY2ZX in Brazil, has been doing a lot of listening to medium-wave from Ukraine and vicinity via remotes, such as 1404 kHz at Izmail, Ukraine, received via a Russian SDR, 28 February at 2014. Robin Harwood in Tasmania, listening via remote in Finland, reports on 5130 AM at 1915 UT, March 2nd, a station broadcasting continuous dance music, and then occasional announcements in a Slavic language. Gordon McGowan, British DX Club, a story from The Independent in Ireland, says Russian troops are sabotaging their own tanks and walking away from target towns to avoid combat. From an intelligence source, a glimpse of poor Russian morale can be heard in radio messaging between troops obtained by Shadow Break International. Parts of the Russian military are reliant on mobile phones and analog walkie-talkies, making them vulnerable for interception by radio hams. Tudor Vidianu in Romania, near Ukraine, has been monitoring some military communications on 4034, 4320, 4342. 5125, 5272, 5230, 5640, all USD, and on 4034. Often the frequencies are jammed using pig squealing sounds. Wolfgang Buschel reports some more possible frequencies involved in the war as of March 3rd, around 20 to 2020 UT, chatter in a Slavic language and SSD around these. 3077, 3102. 3156, 3169, and 3171. Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, adds, heard in the Czech language on 4611 and 4626 USD. Russian military on 7590 USD. Ivanov also does a lot of monitoring of numbers stations, but it says due to Russia's military invasion, no signal of the English lady or the Russian lady on March 3rd, between 08 and 0946 UT on numerous out-of-band frequencies. But he says all of these he's referring to were from Rivne, R-I-V-N-E, Ukraine, which is in the northwest corner. The report, South Park is on the ball with a new episode, Back to the Cold War, starring Vladimir Putin and others, making fun of him. It's the new episode, which is scheduled to repeat as follows in UT Days and Time, Sunday, March 6th at 0614, and UT Thursday, March 10th at midnight 30, on Comedy Central cable channel in the U.S. There's even some Russian dialogue and the national anthem. Now about monitoring the BBC World Service on shortwave. At least in Arizona, Rick Barton says 11825 is a good frequency relayed from the Philippines, heard at 2315, February 28th. Via Martin Williams, BBC PR says millions of Russians turn to BBC News for factual independent info about the war, but they say very little about shortwave in particular. Ivo Ivanov has some other new BBC shortwave frequencies, however, for Russia and Ukraine in English, 04-06-7370, 06-07-9745, 19-22-5875. Ivo Ivanov also says BBC has just registered a new Russian language service. It's at 18-18:30 UT on 9770, effective March 3rd, but we checked and it was not yet on the air. That's aimed from Wolverton. Arthur Posner in New York says the last BBC Russian language shortwave was in March of 2011. I cannot remember if it was ever jammed. Mark Cooper reports that Voice of America English has a new program, Flashpoint Ukraine, at 2105 UT on weekdays until 2130. Unfortunately, we found it is not on the active shortwave frequency 11720 from North Carolina, only on their webcast. Ann Robinson, formerly of VOA, writes another of his very critical pieces titled Where Are U.S.-Funded Global Media and Russia's War Against Ukraine? It appears in publicdiplomacycouncil.org, dated February 28. Martin, with a Y, Williams says, Radio Liberty seems to have a pretty active website, with news articles being added every 10 minutes or so. Russians, it's radiosvoboda.org. M. Elliott, also ex-VOA, says, The U.S. AGM annual budget is $810 megadollars. The BBC World Service budget, exactly half, about $405. U.S. AGM loses much efficiency by having multiple overlapping entities. In theory, they have separate missions. In reality, there is duplication. Promoting his shortwave radiogram, he says one signal as received was miserable, but the MFSK-32 text decoded almost 100%. I've tried to interest USAGM and Western international broadcasters in using this capability on the transmitters they still have access to. No success. Radio is old, outmoded, and yucky. The Internet is modern and fashionable. It is also cut off during crises such as now. Sean McHenry comments on the flat-out and sad lack of coverage by the media in this conflict. I flip through broadcast television stations, and the coverage of this potential build-up to World War III is getting a horrible lack of actual press. I did see the gals on The View had something to say about it between interviews with actors the other day. Matt Todd comments on the loss of shortwave infrastructure. Highly doubtful anything will change after this. The biggest problem is the lack of receivers by the average citizen in developed countries. We are in a bit of a bubble with our radios and thinking shortwave is the answer. But I don't know a single person who is not a ham that owns a shortwave receiver. Medium wave is more realistic, but most only have access to it in their vehicles, which is not ideal. Greetings in case anyone is listening to me rather than Zooming. During the new SWL Winterfest this year, it's again virtual via Zoom, the weekend of March 4th and 5th. Here's some advance notice from WRMI's Jeff White. There's been an harmonic interference problem to aeronautical navigation from one of their frequencies, 7780. So to solve this problem, the programming on 7780 is being swapped with 7730, as well as the antenna azimuth, but not until the beginning of the A22 season on March 27th. now heard from Tammy Walker in Dallas about her new show Postcard Panorama, which started in early January but then disappeared from WRMI. She had planned out a full year of themes, but she says January brought laryngitis, a back injury, and a broken mic, keeping me from recording anything, but I'm planning on restarting in April now that all that has been mostly resolved. It'll probably have to be at a different time than before because of programming changes. A reminder that starting immediately in March, there's a new time for World of Radio on WBCQ as sort of an appendage to the new Radio Angeles service. After it's off at 05 UT, on UT Saturdays only, World of Radio on 4790. And a couple of weeks later, once DST is in effect, it and everything else on BCQ will shift to one UT hour earlier, World of Radio at 0400. Meanwhile, you listen in for Radio Angela 7 days a week between 03 and 05 UT on 4790. It should provide better reception closer in to Monticello than Oklahoma. Checked every night, but have yet to hear WRNO anymore on 7505. In fact, I first noticed it missing on February 18th. Radio World, February 28th via Mike Terry. Paul McLean writes a story, FCC has harsh words for cumulus. Repeated disregard of the rules by a broadcaster of cumulus size and scope is contrary to the public interest. A tongue-lashing from the FCC, and it faces a $32,000 penalty in a case in Georgia involving equal opportunity rules. Cumulus, of course, is a major station group owner in the U.S. And Cobb forwards a press release from the National Association of Broadcasters opposing the broadcasting of Russian-sponsored programming, such as Sputnik on U.S. radio. There's a reply in RadioInc.com from John Garzilia, waiving the First Amendment, who has to register as a foreign agent. He takes in $30,000 a month to rebroadcast Sputnik on 105.5 in District of Columbia, and likely has few costs other than tower rent and electricity. Sputnik is not the Russian viewpoint, says Vin Kopp. It is the media organ of a murderous regime. An article February 25th at spaceweather.com, The Termination Event Has Arrived, by Dr. Tony Phillips. Something has just happened on the sun. Solar physicists Scott McIntosh and Bob Lehman call it the termination event. Old solar cycle 24 has finally died. It was terminated. Now the new solar cycle 25 can really take off. This happened in December 2021. We have finalized our forecast of cycle 25's amplitude, says McIntosh. It will be just above the historical average with a monthly smooth sunspot number 190 plus or minus 20. This is a sharp departure from NOAA's official forecast of a weak solar cycle. The short-term propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder. Geomagnetic field expected to reach active levels on March 5th, 6th, 11th, 12th, and 19th to 21st. Due to multiple recurrent coronal hole high-speed streams. ANK indices peaking at 12 and 4 on March 5th, 6th, and 12th. 15 and 4 on March 11th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. Solar flux dropping from 105 March 4th to a minimum of 95 March 15th and 16th. Back up to 102 by March 24th. And so concludes World of Radio 2128, Glenn Hauser. Hope you found it informative, and will hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.